The half-breed frowned. Said he,
"You don't know me. Least you don't know all about that thing. Tain't robbery altogether. It's revenge."
And a wicked light flamed in his eyes.
"I'll need your help in it. When it's finished, then Texas. Go home to your Nance and your kids, and stand by till you hear from me."
"Well, if you say so, what'll we do with this? Bury it again?"
"Yes."
Ravishing delight overhead.
"No, by the great sachem, no."
Profound distress overhead.
"I'd nearly forgot. That pick had fresh earth on it."
The boys were sick with terror in a moment.
"What business has a pick and a shovel here? What business with fresh earth on them? Who brought them here, and where are they gone? Have you heard anybody? Seen anybody? What, bury it again and leave them to come and see the ground disturbed? Not exactly. Not exactly. We'll take it to my den."
"Why, of course. Might have thought of that before. You mean number one?"
"No, number two, under the cross. The other place is bad, too common."
"All right, it's nearly dark enough to start."
Injun Joe got up and went about from window to window, cautiously peeping out. Presently he said,
"Who could have brought those tools here? Do you reckon they could be upstairs?"
The boys' breath forsook them. Injun Joe put his hand on his knife, halted a moment, undecided, and then turned towards the stairway. The boys thought of the closet, but their strength was gone. The steps came creaking up the stairs. The intolerable distress of the situation woke the stricken resolution of the lads. They were about to spring for the closet when there was a crash of rotten timbers, and Injun Joe landed on the ground amid the debris of the ruined stairway. He gathered himself up, cursing, and his comrade said,
"Now what's the use of all that? If it's anybody and they're up there, let them stay there. Who cares? And if they want to jump down now and get into trouble, who objects? It'll be dark in 15 minutes. And then let them follow us if they want to. I'm willing. In my opinion, whoever hove those things in here caught a sight of us and took us for ghosts or devils or something. I'll bet they're running yet."
Joe grumbled a while, then he agreed with his friend that what daylight was left ought to be economized in getting things ready for leaving. Shortly afterwards, they slipped out of the house into the deepening twilight and moved towards the river with their precious box. Tom and Huck rose up, weak but vastly relieved, and stared after them through the chinks between the logs of the house. Follow? Not they. They were content to reach the ground again without broken necks and take the townward track over the hill. They did not talk much. They were too much absorbed in hating themselves, hating the ill luck that made them take the spade and the pick there. But for that, Injun Joe never would have suspected. He would have hidden the silver with the gold to wait there till his revenge was satisfied, and then he would have had the misfortune to find that money turn up missing. Bitter, bitter luck that the tools were ever brought there. They resolved to keep a lookout for that Spaniard when he should come to town spying for chances to do his revengeful job, and follow him to number two, wherever that might be. Then a ghastly thought occurred to Tom.
Revenge? What if he means us, Huck?
Oh, don't,
said Huck, nearly fainting. They talked it all over, and as they entered town, they agreed to believe that he might possibly mean somebody else. At least that he might at least mean nobody but Tom, since only Tom had testified. Very, very small comfort it was to Tom to be alone in danger. Company would be a palpable improvement, he thought.